And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning. You're very welcome along to Friday's 9 to noon show on this, the 8th of November 2024. It's good to have you on board. We've got a busy show as always. Friday particularly busy because very shortly I'm going to introduce to you our Friday panel, three guests to discuss some of the big topics of the day. And the week a little later on, we've got That's Entertainment with some special guests there within and loads more between 10 and 11. So stay right where you are. And we want your involvement in the conversation throughout the morning. 086 60 25000 is the WhatsApp and text number. Or give us a call on 07491 25000. Or if you prefer to email, it's comments@highlandradio.com. Right, okay. Katie Tyrrell McCafferty is a community campaigner and joins us on the show. Good morning, Katie. Are you there, Katie? No, you're muted. I'll come back to you. Michael Harrison, retired Garda Sergeant. Good morning to you, Garda Inspector. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Good to have you on board. Eamon McGee, former inter-county footballer and columnist as well. Good morning, Eamon.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
Not too bad. You're not going to make any inter-county comebacks, no?
No. You'll be waiting for my comeback now. Happy. Donegal fans, we're all happy this week now, so it's a good way to start the new year come 2025.
For sure. We might talk about that a little later on. Katie, you there now? How are you?
Good morning, Greg.
Good to see you. Right, OK, we're not going to focus too much on it, but we couldn't sort of start without reflecting a little bit on the outcome of the US election. The majority of American people have spoken. They've opted for a second term with Donald Trump. Michael Harrison, your reaction to that news and perhaps maybe the ramifications of it?
Well, I just wee bit, bearing in mind the scrutiny which we subject our public representatives to here in Ireland, and I often scratch my head and wonder how did he get elected? You know, if any of our politicians had a fraction of the allegations made against them, which Mr. Trump has, you know, they would probably have to go and hide themselves in the mountains for months on end. But yet the American people, for whatever reason, have decided to elect him as the president. It'll be interesting times ahead because I don't think he himself knows what he's going to do from one minute to the next. And all of a sudden, one of the most powerful nations in the world is going to be governed by, and there's talk now which he's going to replace all the kind of heads of department in the American institutions with his own people. So you could have the likes of Mr. Musk in charge of, you know, some department, no qualifications, no training. So it will be interesting times
but
ahead.
But if he is...
I'm sure there will be some shocks for us along the way.
Yeah, if he is given a role, Mr. Musk, because he went in and decimated the staff at Twitter as it was then when he bought it, it is about, you know, monitoring government spending, spending wastage. So, I mean, maybe he is very well qualified for that type of role. Maybe that's the way politics should go, that people are charged with stuff that they know about. Not charged, that's with Donald Trump, you have to change words. The people are given the responsibility of stuff that they're experienced in.
Well, the way I would ask you to qualify that, Greg, is do you think X is better now? Do you think it's a better platform now or than what it was?
Well, I find it unusable. I have no interest in it at all at the moment.
But it's quite toxic.
I take your point. But, I mean, he's putting America first. The stock markets reacted really, really favourably. There's a bit of a panic in Europe in terms of the sanctions. The Chinese are watching on as well. But as I say, a nice bounce for the US economy and the dollar. If that's the initial reaction, maybe if he's putting America first, he's on the right track already.
So so be it. As I said, we'll just have to sit here and watch that spot and, you know, see what happens, because if it's anything like his last administration, you know, a lot of decisions will be made without any research at all. They'll be made on the hoof. You know, you've seen some of the hilarious press conferences he held, particularly with regards to the internet, you know, when they were trying to deal with COVID. So running the country, it's a very delicate operation. As I said, I wasn't surprised, you know that he did get elected, but I was quite shocked at the level of which the amount of people, which voted for him. But the Democratic candidate, she only had, I think, about 110 days, to mount a campaign. And, you know, Mr. Trump has been at this for the last 2 years. Mm. So she really went into her campaign with one hand tied behind her back. And, you know,
she did have she had 4 years to enact the change or influence the change that she promised in the last 100 odd days.
She was Mr. Biden's second in command. You know, she was the vice president, really and truly doesn't have a lot of power, you know, under the American legislation. And she did have, Greg, was 110 days, you know, to mount a campaign.
Okay.
And that's the reality of it.
Katie, what do you think?
I'm just baffled, really.
Why? Why is it such a hard thing to get your head around?
Well, no, I'm not baffled, because what it was is that people in America wanted change, and unfortunately Kamala Harris was just saying, look, I'm going to do what we've been doing for the last 4 years, and people have not been happy. But that change, and Trump was saying he was going to do things differently, but I just cannot believe that someone who has, he's a convicted felon for a start off. The stuff that's come out about him, the absolute draconian measures against women that he's come out with, I'm baffled. I'm baffled at any woman could have voted for Trump, to be honest. I'm not surprised by the result, but I just think it's bonkers.
Well, I mean, clearly the American people, and listen to some that voted for him, the criminal convictions, that's all sort of been made very convoluted because of the political nature of some of it. And there's absolutely no doubt politics and power was used to go after him. Now, for some people, whether it's right or wrong, what he did, and it's all wrong, of course, so he wouldn't be convicted, they didn't like that. But also, a lot of people went past the rhetoric and got down to what he was promising, and they said, do you know what? What he's promising to deliver is what I want.
Yes, and that's what I said, is that people were wanting change, and unfortunately, Kamala Harris wasn't offering that change. But what you won't see in the next few days, what you won't see is, you saw Harris concede, right? You didn't see her phoning up Democratic governors saying, find me another 11,000 votes. There won't be a storming of the Capitol building. You know, I was watching NBC News, and it did a poll of people, and Republicans were saying, 89% of them didn't trust the democratic process. I don't see them moaning about it now. Do you know what I mean? But if the if the result had been in the reverse, then, and one of the things I'm really worried about is public health care in the US. The guy that they've got lined up to control the CDC. Wow. That's frightening.
Just in relation
that's
to
really frightening. And Musk as well.
Yeah, you brought up the abortion issue, right? Though effectively, what has he not done? In that there's no statewide ban on abortion. There was obviously Roe v. Wade was challenged and no longer applies. And each state and the people within it democratically will be able to decide what access to abortion there is or isn't. I mean, is that not democracy in action rather than a diktat from Washington?
No, I'm actually talking about what Trump said in an interview, where he said any woman that has an abortion for whatever reason should be criminally punished.
Okay, Eamon McGee.
Talking about the rapist that might have raped someone to cause them to be pregnant. He never mentioned any of them, but he did mention about women seeking abortion, should be criminally punished. You know, that's what I'm saying, is things like that, you know, that are very, very worrying. Yeah. And like your previous person said, Musk, I mean, I'm deleting X. It's unusable. you know, and people say Musk is going to go in and sort out all the finance stuff. This is a guy that spends money on putting silly rockets into space instead of helping doing entrepreneurial stuff like someone like Dolly Parton does. Do you know what I mean? With his millions.
Well, I didn't expect all those names in the one sentence, but Dolly Parton, Elon Musk and Donald Trump. All right, Eamon, what's your view, Eamon McGee?
You know, I wasn't surprised, Greg, you know, even though he's been a terrible candidate, and he's actually, in my opinion, been a worse candidate and ran a worse campaign than 2016. So you can, I think it's just all in the Democrats. I think Kamala was a terrible candidate. I think the Democrats ran, including Joe Biden, has a lot to shoulder here. And you could see it coming, and you're just thinking to yourself, did 2016 actually happen? Did these boys not remember it? And, you know, he's got a resounding victory. And I think, you know, from an Irish perspective, there's stuff to worry about. There's from the multinationals, he wants to take all the American companies back. He wants to become more isolationist. I think there's a lot within his government, and that's the thing. It's not just Trump. Trump's he's an idiot, but it's the boys he's taken with him, and a lot of the boys he's taken with him want to hark back to that isolationist America, you know, that we had before the 20th century. And where the world's at, you know, with Russia making noise in Ukraine, with China, you know, that they're starting to ramp up things about Taiwan. We need America, you know, we need America, and we need a, you know, progressive America. And unfortunately, that's not what we have. So it's a rare one. And it's, again, from an Irish perspective, it's the American people have become so disillusioned with their political parties that they went to someone like Donald Trump. They become disillusioned with the Republican Party. Like, even people within the Republican Party didn't want Trump, and they had to jump on board, and they become disillusioned with the Democratic Party. And when you, it bodes bad when you become disillusioned, and you look at the Irish thing, where we have two of the main parties are more or less the same. And people would have looked at the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, says, same thing, who do we go for? And then they went for this rogue candidate who could say anything. He, as a previous speaker says, that the list of things that he done is just off the charts, but they still went with him because it was an alternative. And I'd worry, you know, and not in the immediate future, but if Ireland keep presenting the same, like, Is this someone going to
emerge? I mean, I think that has been tested in previous elections, and there was
I don't think we're at the point where we're going to accept it. I think we're decent, and, you know, by and large,
I think if one of the three main parties obviously didn't go down the full route that he did, but started speaking about policies the way he did, in terms of, you know, we have to put Ireland first right now, and then when we get on our feet, then we'll do this, that and the other. I think they'd romp home in this country.
Do you?
Yep.
I really do. I think there would be a pushback.
One of the established big three, or even one of the lesser ones, you know, I think if they came out with some of the policy statements that he has made, different types of language, of course, or what have you, but stood out like that and said, you know, and we're going to talk a little bit later on about some of the issues
I personally think we're a wee bit away from that, but it's coming down the line, and I think, you know, we can change. You know, there's a great saying where balance is everything. I think the balance of the whole argument went far too much to the one side, and people are kind of going against that now. And we've seen that in America; they really rebelled against it. So,
all right,
we just and
Michael, just back to you before we take a break. You know, what we did see was people might not necessarily have found Kamala Harris resonated with them, but we had every celebrity coming out backing her. You know, J Lo. I can't believe I started with her, but you know, Oprah. Taylor Swift, actually, to get to the more influential people. You know, everyone's saying you have to vote for Kamala. You have to vote Kamala. Donald Trump had Dana White, Elon Musk, and Joe Rogan on his side, and that was enough. And he's won the popular vote as well, which he didn't do in 2016. So I think we have to sit up and take note and say, you know, what is it the public want? What do we think what the public want? Because if you listen to those in the arts and media, for an example, they don't know what the public want. Donald Trump does, though, Michael.
No, well, that's true. But Donald Trump, he gave them something. He touched on an idea. And, you know, as Eamon was saying there, just, the, you know, the two candidates they had, like, the, you know, and like, America is a fantastic country. But when you sit back and you look at, this is the best America could offer the people, was either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris, you know, to be president of the United States. Like, that is the best they had to offer. It was absolutely appalling that, a reality TV star with a failed businessman, you know, that he could go on and mount a more successful campaign.
He's a billionaire, Michael. He's a billionaire.
But, you know, and only he touches on, as you said, the power, you know, keep America first, you know, do the right thing. But is that the appropriate way to run? Like, that has failed politics. It has shown in the past in American history that putting America first, right throughout the history, up to the First World War, up to the Second World War, that has failed on every single occasion. It has never worked.
Okay.
because as a global economy, Ireland needs other nations to succeed, and America needs other nations to succeed, and this is failed. All they have to do is look at their history, and they'll see that this magma stuff has never, ever worked historically, ever.
Okay, but then some will say, Michael, and we'll move on, that you know, commodities were affordable under Trump. Inflation was not as high. You know, the southern border was more secure. Those are his policies. You say they've never worked. Well, they obviously worked enough in the 4 years for people to say, right, we need him back again, because
This is a man, and Cathy touched on it there, this is a man that took to the stage a few weeks ago and gave out and said he was going to abolish free healthcare for everybody. And people cheered in the audience.
Okay.
Can you imagine a politician in Ireland standing up saying they're going to abolish free care, that you're going to have to pay for your healthcare in this country? Like, this is, you know, these are the policy this guy's want, that he said it.
Yeah, but that's the
policy
that the majority of American people want. It's split households, it's split states. But I take your point. Some comments coming in: Irish people up in arms about Trump, yet they continually vote for Irish politicians who destroy their own economy. All Harris was good for in her presidential campaign was cackling and laughing all the time. No one knew what she really stood for, which is something that, this is why Trump is good at what he does, because he started on about her crazy laugh early on, and now we have someone in Ireland sort of saying that's probably why she didn't win. That's why he wins, because he says stuff that sticks in people's heads. Since Simon Harris has not gone to the arras yet, the election has not officially started. Will Sinn Féin take down all the election posters that are already occupying every lamppost already, or pay fines? That's littering at the moment, so I'm not sure they will. Maybe just ride it out till he gets to the arras. Hi, Greg and panel. Believe me, Trump knows exactly what he's doing and planning to do for the next 4 years, starting with implementing Project 2025. What good is an economy on the uptick when your entire social contract's about to break down? They want to mask off on Project 2025 yesterday. Now his goons are talking about repealing the 19th, which is a woman's right to vote. Well, you see, I don't think that the extreme sort of politics is going to get us anywhere. Is that really what's going to happen? Tell that country we need Trump in this country ASAP. Last one before the break. Don't know why Irish people have such a hatred for Trump. We need to be careful. It could backfire on us if we keep the hatred going. Back for more with more from Michael, Katie and Eamon after these. Just in relation to that comment about the election posters going up already, I suppose it's not without consequence. Obviously, they shouldn't go up till the election's called. You can put them up, you can't put them up on public property effectively until the election's called, but it means that you end up with the best spots. So it is, you know, it's pretty unfair. Well, the general election will be triggered today with voting to take place on November 29th. Eamon McGill, start with you this time, if that's okay. How do you see the next 3 weeks panning out, I suppose, locally and nationally? It seems housing is going to be the big one. I'm not terribly confident that mass debates on housing is going to necessarily drive people to the polls, because I think a lot of people feel that the problem is such that it's hard to get one's head around. But what do you think, Eamon?
I think locally we've seen in the council elections where, you know, we'll probably make it's going to be a big issue, and then followed by the housing. Nationally, for all the talk of disillusionment and all this, people seem to be going back to Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael. So there's actually a study in that, in terms of, you know, how do they arrive after all the giving out we've done for the last 10, 12 years, that we arrive back to. Now, this is based on the polls that several papers have released, that they're strong on Fianna Fáil, or Sinn Féin have fallen way back. So it'll be interesting to see, does that hold up, and does momentum from the last, Sinn Féin's momentum from the last election, is that truly gone now? What, from you talk to people, I think it is now. So I think Donegal will book that. I think they'll stick with the outside candidates or the opposition candidates, and the rest of the country will just toe the line.
What do you think, Katie Tyrrell McCafferty?
Yeah, I think Eamon's actually probably spot on there. And the biggest issue is the housing crisis, obviously exacerbated by MICA in Donegal. I think the other big issue for Donegal is healthcare. When you see, if you can even compare the spend that we get in Donegal compared to somewhere like Sligo, that's a real big issue for us, and the absolute collapse of things like CAMHS. And
how do you articulate that in a 3-week spell, though, for it to be one to gain votes? Like, say, for instance, there's independents and other parties out there, but say for Sinn Féin's perspective, like, how do you articulate over the next 3 weeks to try and garner votes in this area as it relates to problems with CAMHS, CDNT, overcrowding, home care packages, step down facilities? You know what I mean? And that's why I just wonder if that's what is that going to motivate people to vote, because I think the general population will go, it doesn't matter who comes in, it's never going to be fixed.
I think Sinn Féin really started yesterday, actually, on that bit. And obviously there are other politicians that are in Donegal that have also always said things like, why is carers allowance means tested? And they, you know, made a big splash about that yesterday, scrapping the means test for carers. So you've got that. I agree, 3 weeks is going to be difficult to get that across. But I mean, my God, when you see the CAMHS stuff is just awful. We have, you know, and we have an high suicide rate in this county. And mental health starts with kids, do you know what I mean? And and we're seeing things that have not recovered after COVID. So you've got, like, obviously I know this situation because of my situation, but we've got respite that has never gone back to pre-COVID times. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think we've got a massive healthcare crisis. You know, you're getting people going, do you know what? I can't be bothered to go to A&E. And they've got chest pains and things like that because they're just thinking, you're thinking, God, I don't feel well anyway, and I'm going to sit up there all night. Do you know what I mean? And then the other massive thing for us is housing. And we've had an housing crisis in Donegal for decades. Not just with MICA, with just recent times. We've had an housing crisis in this county for decades. There's not enough social housing. And the other thing they need to tackle is landlords, and we need to tackle rent regulation and stuff like that. It's crazy.
Just one point of clarification. Sorry about this. In terms of the posters, they're okay to go up today. As long as the writ's being signed today, posters, election posters can go up. But if they went up yesterday, For a time, they were not allowed to be up. But once they're up now today, because the writ's been signed today, it's okay for them to be up today, even ahead of the Simon Harris going to the president.
That's okay, just political machine have been texting in already, Greg, have they?
No, it's dicked up from councils.
Well, the other thing, if they are listening, can you please raise your posters off the ground? I tripped over one with my son with the service dog, and my mate Jackie, who's blind in Sligo, also took a tumble. Raise them off the ground. Otherwise, there will be people taking court cases out against you this time.
All right. Thank you. Good call. Good call. Michael, what's your view on the next 3 weeks? And how do you anticipate the election campaign?
Absolutely dreading it, to be totally honest, the next 2 weeks. But the issues are there, what people have said, and Donegal has a few unique ones, the mica being one of them, the stress that has caused to families, to children, to children in the houses, living in the house, and, the houses coming down around their ears. The healthcare system, as Katie says there, the healthcare system hasn't recovered since COVID, and that's north and south of the border. But with regards to, the housing crisis, you go into Derry, and I live close to Derry, and I walk around Derry, and I see the amount of units that are being built in Derry at the moment, apartments, housing units. There's hundreds of them being built. Yeah. But yet, in the Republic of Ireland, in the Dáil, the numbers given was less than 1,000 in the last 5 years. What have we done? What are we doing wrong here with the guards, housing?
But how does that get people? How does that get people out to vote or motivate people to vote in certain ways? I don't have the exact figures in my head, but I'm going to exaggerate them anyway. So the government on the last day decided, we're going to build 60,000 houses a year. And Sinn Féin said, our plan is we're going to build 70,000 houses a year. Yeah, but you go ask any person on the street. They will say, how are they going to deliver those houses? Who's going to build those houses? What's the lead in time? That's what concerns me. The focus will be on housing, yeah. But how do they articulate it that people think what they're promising is going to fundamentally change anything?
That is it. It is how, the plans, the legislation, they're going to have to outline. And I would hope that, that the people, they just wouldn't believe the old spin from the 70s and 80s, when politicians, announced these things in their manifestos, 50,000 housing units, and all they ever managed to build was 1,000, that at least this time they're going to treat us with respect and explain to us how they're going to manage to do it. But another thing in this county, that is a massive problem at the moment, is the fishing industry, and it gets no coverage. The Irish fishing area, it's 10 times the size of the island. It's absolutely massive, but yet our the fishing boats in the west of the county, they're just tied up. In Greencastle, you go up there, they can't even go out, but yet we have the biggest fishing area, territorial waters, in the European Union, and yet they're there, they're moored up. That is a huge problem with this county that gets very, very little coverage. But housing and the health service, for me, are the main ones.
All right, okay.
Greg, can you make a point on house
building?
Please,
come in. Any of you, come in whenever you wish.
I think one of the problems that we're going to face in a few years is, even if we do have a mass house building, house building.
Don't remember them, forget them.
No, most of the time
I don't. Go houses, it's fine.
Who's going to build these houses, right? Because we do have a skilled workforce crisis, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. If you try and get anyone to do a little job in your house, it's bad. So I think that we also need to look further down the road, and I think a priority for this government coming in is we need to bring back apprenticeships. A skilled workforce.
Yeah, I think Simon Harris would stand probably and argue on his record that he's done more to sort of bring apprenticeships forward than anyone. As I say, I'm just trying to make sure I'm as balanced as possible. But I take your point. I'm absolutely amazed how disrespectful and blind your guests are to people who voted for Trump. Trump destroyed Kamala in a fair fight because the majority of people loved what Trump has done and will continue to do. And your guests say that they can't understand how Americans voted for him. I believe he ran in Irish politics. He'd win hands down because he does what he says he's going to do. I don't disagree there. Here we go. Highland Radio Establishment, anti-Trump show. Dry your eyes. He's lost. Didn't Ireland adopt an Irish An Irish as isolationist policy for decades, says another listener. The arrogance of your panel and disrespect of the voters of America. Respect their vote. You can respect the vote, but you can have an opinion as well, of course.
I think we all know why, like, we respect the American vote, but there's no getting away from Trump as an agent. It's what Trump represents, the people that he's brought along. That's the change that we're talking about. And just to come in there on the Irish general election, that, you know, you're at a stage now, Greg, like, there's a lot of people like you that what difference, like, they're going to fire out figures, they're going to fire out housing figures, they're going to say they're going to spend this in the HSE and healthcare, and nobody is paying any heed to it. And this is where we become disillusioned. And someone, the MAGA movement of Irish politics, you know, fills that void and says, we're going to do this, we're going to do that.
But in that regard, what I believe a vote winner would be, and it's not necessarily what I feel, Eamon, I'm just trying to sort of give a sense of what, but if someone came in and said, right, on my first day in office, I'm going to have the resignations of every department head in the HSE on my office desk, because we're pumping billions upon billions into that organisation every single year, and look at what we got. Now, it might not be achievable, and it might actually also be rhetoric, but I'll tell you, people would vote for that. If someone promised to go in and actually reform the HSE, that it's, you know, not so top-heavy in admin and what have you, as I say, it might not be achievable, but it would be a vote winner.
It'd be sure. Look at the likes of Musk, the likes of Trump, you know, billionaires talking to the working class of America, you know, the Rust Belt, and saying, and they resonated with it. You know, you talked about, you know, the elites, and they have no more interest in the working class than man on the moon, but the message got across them, and that's where they got the votes. And, you know, and again, go back to Irish politics, I think the turnout was ridiculously low in the council elections, because that just, they've become jaded with the whole thing. And probably there's an argument for another day, like, there should be a compulsory vote. You should have be really forced to go out and use your vote in this country.
That's an interesting one. Michael, what do you think about that, a compulsion to vote? I think maybe, you know, the space in democracy on, for your not voting being your vote to some extent as well. But anyway.
Yeah, I think, is it Australia? It is compulsory to vote in Australia. I think it is compulsory. My own opinion on it is, democracy is something that should be treasured. It's not easily, you know, it's something that is always on a knife edge. It was one of the main arguments in the American election that democracy was a threat. And, you know, that'll have to be borne out to be seen. But the non-exercise of your vote, not voting, I don't think it's very good. It's something, you know, we are taking our democratic system for granted. We mightn't like our democratic system, but it's a fairly decent one. And I do think, you know, everything should be done. And it's something that has been debated down the years.
There was a concern,
I think people should be asked, you know.
Yeah, there was a concern, though, in the US elections that Democrats, because of their immigration policy, that a lot of immigrants, illegal and otherwise, and you needed no ID to vote, were in swing states. And the concern was it would change the population to such an extent that they would no longer become swing states. And if that were the case and the Democrat got in, it would be very, very hard to shift them. And that was the argument as to why, one of the arguments, sorry, as to why democracy was under threat in the United States.
Yeah, but then we get that here. People, look at them bussing people in and all that. I actually agree with compulsory voting, by the way. I think that compulsory voting remember Brewster's Millions? None of the above option.
That's right. Now, we were talking about housing, and we have to take a break, but we were talking about housing, and I've put this to Simon Harris directly, and I've put it to Mary Lou McDonald in the past as well, and Micheál Martin quite some time ago. You can promise the sun, the moon and the stars in terms of housing, but it's housing delivery. And one of the major problems we have in this county is actually the infrastructure to sustain housing. There are applications that aren't progressing because we don't have the water supply or we don't have the sewer supply. But also there's issues with planning, and Councillor Paul Canning has an interest in this area as well. Just a quick word from you, Paul, if you don't mind. Unless we sort out planning, we're not going to be able to, whoever is not going to be able to deliver on the promises,
right. That's correct, you know, and like, I'll call a spade a spade. PG McDermott would have had 300 houses built in Letterkenny at this stage if it wasn't for people objecting to him. And the infrastructure was in place. They had their arguments. But 20 euros can hold up a planning application for 2 or 3 years because of the situation when Bord Pinalla. That's happening throughout the whole country. I think back about 3 years ago, there was about 70,000 planning applications that was being stalled or held up with the Bord Pinalla. So we're going nowhere until we get legislation sorted in relation to the planning. And as I say, 20 euros stops somebody to spend maybe hundreds of thousands on an application. So it doesn't matter who promises what. If you can't deliver them, you can't deliver them until the planning system changes.
All right, interesting, Paul. Thanks very much for that. Back with more from our guests after this quick break. Greg, all the big parties have their posters up around the county this morning. Indeed, it's fine today if the writ's been signed today. Yesterday, a bit dodgy. According to my friends in the state of Pennsylvania, the reason they voted Republican was because the Democrats wouldn't listen to their protests on sending billions of their money to the wars in Ukraine and Israel when they needed homes built. Demos let big corporations buy them up and their families were left behind. Trump did mention that to Biden in their first debate, if you want to roll it back and watch. Out of 335 million people in America, the best they could do for a candidate was for president was two old men who both have one foot in the grave. If we were doing this in Ireland, we would be a laughingstock. If Donald Trump was in charge of the Children's Hospital, the overspend never would have happened under his watch, which I think might not be the case, but anyway, that's your view and that's fine. Gangland informants who provide valuable intelligence to Gardaí on organised crime activity should be permitted to commit criminal offences in certain circumstances, this according to a major new oversight report. According to the Garda Síochána Inspectorate, this would mirror systems in other countries that allow law enforcement to sanction certain illegal conduct by intelligence sources in order to dismantle criminal organisations. The sanctioning of criminal behaviour by law enforcement has led to controversy in our nearest neighbours, Britain, after it emerged undercover officers committed crimes such as arson while infiltrating environmental groups. Michael Harrison, by coincidence this come up, and of course you're a former member of An Garda Síochána. Do you believe informants, undercover people, should be able to commit criminal offences if it, I suppose, serves the bigger picture?
I'm so happy this morning at 7 o'clock when I woke up and I saw the email from
Good
Caroline.
Good morning.
I said, "Oh, thank you so much for this topic." So this is a recommendation came about from a report from the Garda Síochána Inspectorate, and the Inspectorate was set up in 2005 to make recommendations, you know, and to it was set up in 2005 to make sure that the Garda Síochána had the resources available to it and that they were used efficiently and effectively. And they introduced reports. I think the last one before this report was on domestic violence. This current one was on transitional organised crime. That's organised crime that's happening across borders. And the recommendation that they actually made was what they call the CHIS service, that's Covert Human Intelligence Service, that it needed an overhaul, and that the wording in the report says that at the time of the inspection there was no, I'm reading directly from the report here, that there was no integrity testing of officials in Ireland, as both parties involved in the act of bribery or corruption could be guilty of an offence. So they're looking to introduce legislation. They want legislation introduced to enable a human intelligence source to commit crime. And I think, I don't agree with it at all, and that's been totally honest with you. I think this is, I don't think here in Ireland, given the constitution we have, that legislation would be enough. I think you would need to be in compliance with the European Convention on Human Rights. You have to become compliant with that for a start. And I don't think there's anything in that charter that would allow that. And I honestly believe that a referendum would be needed. And bearing in mind the history that we have of using CHIS sources on this island, bearing in mind that the steak knife inquiry is happening in Northern Ireland, it's something I'm very, very uncomfortable with. I don't agree with at all. It really is a very, very slippery slope. Where do you stop? What level of crime? Would it include murder? They're the questions that need to be asked, you know. And the inspector's report is quite vague in it, and they just touch on the, like I noted that the offence that they're talking about is bribery, but they don't talk about any other offence. But what offences would this cover?
Yeah. Okay. Emma McGee, what's your view?
Initially, you know, this is way out of my comfort zone in terms of guard informants and all that now, but initially I'd be saying, yeah, you know, let them do whatever. But it goes back to Michael's point there. How far do you take that in terms of how protected they are with the level of crime that they commit to and infiltrate? And I just don't trust the institutions to manage that. Now, listen, that we've read and we've watched in terms of the go back over to America. You've seen the Whitey Bulger thing. Whitey Bulger was an informant for the FBI and he got away with murder and he was protected. Now I'm not necessarily saying that's going to happen in Ireland, but that's the level of protection kept going up and the extent of his crimes kept going up, and I think that's what Michael's touching on when he says he's very uncomfortable with it.
I'd be very uncomfortable to be the victim of the crime of an informant, if I could just break it down to maybe TV terms, or an undercover person, I'd be very unhappy with the victim, and I think there'd be people
Greg, bear in mind, like the stress it is, you know, to have your home broken into, to have your TV taken, your children's toys taken, whatever is taken, and to realise, you know, that the guards, like, they did detect somebody that committed that crime, and you're told, we got nobody from that, but in reality they did get somebody, but because there's a bigger picture, they're not going to prosecute it from the letter. They're going to continue to let them commit burglaries and crimes in that area so that they can catch some other criminal. It's something I've never agreed with, and I've always been uncomfortable with, and it doesn't matter how small the crime is, how small the incident is, it's the impact it has on the victim. And the victims, and there's no mention of victims in this report. There's nothing about what about the victim.
Well, collateral damage, presumably they might be.
That's why the European Convention on Human Rights was introduced in the first place, was to protect victims.
Before Katie's view, Eamon, you wanted to pop back in there?
No, I was just saying, we don't even, just popped in, sorry for interrupting Michael there, we just popped into my head there in terms of, you know, what went on in the six counties and you know, the level of informants from the MI5 and what they got away with and what the British got away with in terms of they were protected, and there's a lot of stuff going on there in terms of court cases, and you know that they should face the repercussions. So it's a grey area. It's not black and white yet.
I think conversations this are useful, because I'm finding my opinion being formed in the course of this conversation. Katie, Tyrrell McCafferty, your view, please.
Well, my first statement is that are we not all equal in the eyes of the law, which we should be. This for me is a no-go, and a little bit personal, actually. My friend, we'll call her Rachel, had a 7-year relationship with someone who was an undercover policeman she's one of the spy cops victims. I was in the company of two of those spy cops, one because I was involved in something I thought was very important, which was the Stephen Lawrence campaign after he was murdered. And they infiltrated that. Actually, the cop that infiltrated it said, actually, these people are really nice and really, I don't know why you're doing this. But we've seen, you look at the fallout from spy cops. For me, this is a no-go. Mm-hmm. This really is a no-go.
Okay.
And as you say, the I'm really pleased that Michael said that. The victims of those crimes that are allowed because they're informants, where's the justice for those people? Do you know what I mean? For me, it's a no-go.
Katie, listen, thank you so very much for your company over the last 50 minutes. It's flown by. Katie Tyrrell McCafferty, we'll speak to you again soon. Thank you so much indeed. Take care of yourself. Eamon McGee, always a pleasure. Look after yourself. Thank you, thanks so much. Yeah. And last but not least, of course, we have we have Michael Harrison, retired Garda Inspector. Michael, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Greg. Take care.
All right, take care of yourself. All right, you too. Thank you very much indeed. I always try and line up, you know, four, five, six topics for us to discuss in the first hour, but can't always get through to them. So I'm going to read out what I was hoping to talk about before time ran out and continue the conversation with you, the listener, because your voice is as important as anyone we have on this show. You know, if you could have a million people on the conversation, you would do so, right? So I'm going to read out some of the stuff we were going to talk about. And if you've got a view on this, please get in touch. And I wanted to get people's opinions on the fact that more and more students are staying at home due to school-related anxiety and stress. This, according to experts who spoke to RTE. There's been a surge in cases in the last 4 years, with educators and mental health professionals describing this as a hidden epidemic. Many point to a lack of resilience amongst our young people. And I was speaking to some people in industry over recent days, and they were talking about how students coming through even second and into third level education, that there's a gap in their resilience, that they're not tough enough for the workplace, even maybe to some extent. So interested in your views on that. I mean, are we doing our children a disservice? Do we need to be, I don't know, tougher? What's the solution if indeed there is a problem there? And also, as you'd know, there's been a spate of attacks on women in recent weeks across the Northwest. In Derry, 4 sexually motivated attacks, 2 at knife point. In Letterkenny, a man recently charged with the violent rape and sexual assault of a woman in the town. Women report not feeling safe. Are you one of those women? Or have you an interest in this? What do you believe can be done? So that's just 2 topics we just didn't get to. But I'm really interested in hearing what you, the listener, has to say on that. Maybe your comment whilst you listen to the news and obituary notices.